Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the My Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
I'm meant to be here. I just think that this is the beginning, so I'm definitely excited for the future.
Justin Fields!
Kidding me, Kevin?
Ooh, wow.
Fields climbs, Fields throws, touchdown! 1-2 punch delivers, it's Fields to Moore, Fields for Moore, got him! Touchdown, Bears lead!
Dances outside, touchdown, Justin Fields!
We've got ourselves a quarterback! Welcome to the party, Chicago! QB1 party! All are invited! Pop your champagne, smoke them if you got them. The Bears have themselves a quarterback.
That number one overall draft pick belongs to the Chicago Bears. Thank you, Carolina.
That's a Caleb Williams custom Bears jersey, baby. Not only is he going to be on the team, he's going to be the first 4,000-yard passer in Bears history. Oh, no. He'll be the first 40-touchdown passer in Bears history.
I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well.
Do you want to stay in Chicago or what's up?
Yeah, of course. Of course I want to stay. But I can't see myself playing in another place. But I know how that league is. Like, if it was up to me, I would want to stay in Chicago. I love the city. The city's lit. The fans are, you know, they're great. And the people. But it's a business I ain't got no control over.
It's crazy. It really is. Is I am listening to that Justin Fields montage, which was put together expertly by our executive producer today, Robbie Triano. Nice job, Robbie. I think people probably needed to hear something like that. It's crazy to think that Justin Fields is gone after all of that. And when I say all of that, it's a lot over the Justin Fields 3 years. There is so much that goes into it on the field, off the field. And I do include you, the Score listener, the Bears fan, involved in that as well. The emotions that you had to ride that some stayed stubborn to. And I understand because Justin Fields was yours. He was yours. He was a guy that was drafted by the Bears. They went out of their way to draft this guy. Moving up, did Ryan Pace to the 11th overall pick a few years ago to select Justin Fields. That guy with that skill set was a massive, huge deal. As we welcome you in on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, I am Mark Grody, and I get to be with you right now until about 3 o'clock, and we are talking about the Bears. We are talking about Justin Fields, who was, if you're just wanting to turn on the radio, okay, what's going on here? Justin Fields traded to Pittsburgh for a conditional 6th-round pick in 2025. It becomes a 4th-round pick based on playing time if Fields is on the field for 51% of the snaps. So that's the nuts and bolts of the deal that the Bears end up getting. And again, as I was listening to the montage for Justin Fields, I started to think about how crazy this is and that we are in this predicament again, no matter what your relationship to the Bears is, where the Bears are still looking for a quarterback. And there is some optimism in me at this very moment, real time, that this sounds crazy, but they've been taking swings at quarterback with four guys in particular in the recent era that makes me feel like they're getting close. They're getting close. They're sniffing it. They are surrounding it. They're buzzing around a quarterback, an actual sustainable, appreciated, productive quarterback, because all that hope was there for Jay Cutler when he came in, and he had some highs for sure. I would say relative to the expectations of Jay Cutler, there were more lows in a lot of different ways. And as we know, it is difficult and complicated to sum up the Jay Cutler era, probably, again, because of the relative lack of success that the organization had had at the quarterback position previous to Jay. So Jay was great relative to all of that. And then the Mitch Trubisky, another huge swing, a first-round quarterback, moving up to go grab him. We all know that you picked the wrong quarterback in that draft two times, if you would like, but that's a different story. That was, again, a big, felt like franchise-altering moment that is going to maybe get you closer to having a real quarterback, closer than it felt in a long time. It didn't work out with Mitch. We'll explore and talk about his legacy always, in now and into the future, and we'll have better perspective on it once it happens. And then Justin Fields. The reason, couple reasons, that Justin Fields was maybe the most popular draft pick ever for the Chicago Bears in terms of the hope. This is the first time, because Mitch Trubisky, while we all ended up knowing who Mitch Trubisky was, he was one of those guys who became the hot quarterback name towards the end of the college football season and then just shot up the charts in terms of people. And then we all had to learn about Mitch Trubisky because of the lack of playing time that he had had at North Carolina. Justin Fields, we know that guy. He plays at one of the best college programs in the nation. That's Justin damn Fields, who can fling the ball down the field. And oh, wow, he's also got 4.4 speed, maybe even a tick under that. Oh, the Bears not only are drafting him, but they moved up in the draft to get a guy who could potentially do it all and looked like the greatest quarterback prospect the Bears had in terms of everything when you consider his athleticism, the arm strength, the smarts, which honestly was important relative to Mitch Trubisky because it didn't seem like he had the mental part of the game down like we thought Justin Fields did coming in. So I do understand the attachment that people had to Justin Fields, no doubt about it. But then here we are now. Here we are now. As I say, we're getting closer, where the Bears they can select from the cream of the crop of quarterbacks, and it is probably going to be Caleb Williams as your quarterback. So I hope that Caleb Williams is not the guy that got you even closer. I hope that this is where the quarterback stops for the Chicago Bears, and it's not out of the realm of possibility. Phone lines are open this morning. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm Mark Grody. Text line is open. It's been popping. But don't think that you can't call. As a matter of fact, this is a good time to do it. This hour in particular, it's just you and I. So if you want to talk about Justin Fields or Caleb Williams or anything about the Bears, welcome right here. 312-644-6767. When I was on with Chuck Swirsky last night, I did a hit with him halftime of the Bulls game, Bulls with a blowout win last night. He asked me a great question, and I don't know if I answered it the way I wanted to specifically. He said, what is the legacy of Justin Fields? What will be the legacy of Justin Fields? That's a hard question to answer in the heat of the moment. It's hard because I think that we need time away from the situation to understand legacy. Like, honestly, Mitch Trubisky's legacy was a bust. I know, that's harsh, but that's what, in getting away from it and watching what he has done or not done in his subsequent Bears career, I can honestly say that that was a bust that wasn't on the Bears. Even if he wasn't surrounded by the ideal developers, Mitch Trubisky was a bust. That's what he was. He was the number two overall pick in the draft. There's no other way to characterize his legacy. I think that it's a little bit more complicated with Justin Fields. And I think part of it is, and this is just for me, part of it is what he did in 2022 when he rushed for over 1,000 yards, had spectacular touchdowns in that season. In terms of some of those explosive runs that he had, it was elite superstar style running. So it was spectacular. Any adjective that you want to use, I think, was legitimate in that season. It can't be forgotten. However, it was forgotten by the NFL, unfortunately. Isn't that crazy that all that he did in that year with his legs, it didn't matter to the NFL. It did not matter. And it's a nice thing, I think, any offensive coordinator would tell you, any defensive coordinator would tell you, it's a pain in the ass to cover. And this is what we hear from, oh, yeah, man, that Justin Fields. Boy, the Lions coach? Was it Dan Campbell? It was, oh, man, Justin Fields, that guy's a nightmare. And he did play well against Detroit, so I guess I understand that. But all the talk about Justin Fields, you realize how disingenuous a lot of it was when you would hear, I'm not just talking about on the score, I'm talking about anybody's takes, former players, talking heads, whatever. You realize that a lot of them gave Justin Fields the benefit of the doubt because what he did in the year 2022 didn't matter. But I think it mattered to Bears fans, and that's what matters to me. So I do attach that to the legacy of Justin Fields. So I'll put that as a part of it. I'll also say that while I'm not using the word bust right now for Justin Fields, very disappointing. Very disappointing. His, the flaws that we know about with Justin Fields were very disappointing. And his inability to mix the pass with the run. And we know all of it. Getting the ball out of his hands quickly. The fourth quarter. The deadly fumbles. Unfortunately, so much of that stuff mattered. And it was, to me, that was very disappointing stuff because we had all set the bar a lot higher for Justin Fields in his Bears career. So unfortunately, that's a big part of the legacy disappointment. Another reason why it's difficult to discuss the legacy, you could make an argument for incomplete still at this point for Justin Fields, because if Caleb Williams wasn't available, this would have been a harder decision. I'm not saying that Ryan Poles would definitely have kept Justin Fields if Caleb Williams didn't exist. And I think it's a great conversation to have at this point. I'm not sure, because his evaluation of Justin Fields seemed to never really get past the stage of great guy. You know, that was where it was with Ryan Poles always. Never really gave him the hyperbolous, glowing review. It just never happened. So I don't know. I don't know what would have happened if Caleb Williams wasn't available. But the point is, it's not out of the realm of possibility. And in fact, I'd say maybe the chances were even better, 60 to 70%. They would have kept Justin Fields, and he could have continued his personal legacy and his legacy with the Chicago Bears. But he never did get that opportunity. It's not here for him. So it's almost like it's been pulled out from under him in the midst at the age of 24. So it does make it a little bit difficult to decide what a legacy is right now. But I thought that was a good question by Chuck Swirsky. And if you'd like to take a stab at that one as well, you may. 312-644-6767. 67 is the number. Let me tell you what else we have coming up on this show. We have, other than your calls, which I will get to, and I see you are there. Oh, my. I just looked up, and we are filled with phones, but it looks like a couple spots still open, if you'd like, at 312-644-6767, the number. David Haw from our Score staff will join us at 1 o'clock, the co-host, of course, of the Mully and Haw Show right here on the Score. They will start pumping it out at 5:30 tomorrow morning. At 1:40, my Bears beat colleague, Dan Wiederer, also, of course, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, is an important contributor here at the Score. Cannot wait to get Weedsy's take coming up at 1:40. And then we will finish out that row of blockbuster guests at 2 o'clock with Herb Howard. He is the Chicago Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. Sorry about that, Herb. He is, as people know, Herb has been loud and proud in support of Justin Fields. So I'll be looking forward to getting his perspective, and maybe he can help to classify the legacy of Justin Fields and what he thinks that Justin Fields will do in his career, because that's another big part of this. Again, I mentioned the age of Justin Fields. It's not like this guy's been sitting around lately waiting for a gig. He is still fresh. He is ripe to play the quarterback position still. It's complicated because he's not getting an opportunity right now. There was no team in the NFL that made a big play to get Justin Fields as a starter. He's in a really good position in Pittsburgh because you have an aging quarterback in Russell Wilson, who it looks like they are going to give him the starting spot. But we know that Russell Wilson is not the same Russell Wilson as he once was. So if he struggles, look for Justin Fields to get an opportunity in pretty quick order. And who knows what happens after next year if they truly do like Justin Fields as more than just a backup. You know, that could, there could be a future for him in Pittsburgh. 312-644-6767. Let me get to a couple of your calls to get this thing going. If you want to talk about the Bears and Justin Fields, the Score is the place to do it. You know that. Here's Johnny on the South Side. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, how you doing, sir? Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it, bud.
My question is, Caleb Williams, if we do draft him, can you imagine the explosiveness that we would have in the team? We got DJ Moore, we got DeAndre Swift, we got Keith Allen, we got Everett.
Sure.
And also Komet. You know, I mean, I'm looking at a big picture here. If we do draft the quarterback and him behind it, that's going to be one nasty season for the Bears if it works out.
Yeah, I think so. I think that in having two veterans, oh my God, like you can't come up with two more quarterback friendly wide receivers than Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I even asked Keenan Allen about that yesterday at the press conference, and he takes a ton of pride in that and being, and you all know what DJ Moore is adept at. And both of these guys, Allen and Moore, they know how to get open. These are what you call really solid route runners. It's so funny because yesterday, what a day it was yesterday. Saturday, St. Patrick's Day weekend. The day starts with at Hallis Hall, and I thought that this would be the biggest deal of the day, and it was a big deal because Keenan Allen was in town, and they assembled the Bears beat at Hallis Hall. And we're like, okay, very early. It was a 9 a.m. wake-up call. It's Keenan Allen, so talked to him, and everything sounded great, and we had even, or it was 2 days ago, I was actually hosting with Bernstein, and the Bears beat had even requested that Ryan Poles speak and politely declined. And now it's starting to make sense. Why? Because while all that stuff with the Keenan Allen stuff is going on, and then we walk out of there, and then hours later, the news comes out. And I'll tell you what, that not only did Ryan Poles do good by Justin Fields, I think, in, you know, doing, making the trade, even though it may not have gotten the haul that people were expecting or wanting,
But he did good by Justin Fields there. And boy, did they do good by Justin Fields by breaking the news when the Bears did yesterday. And so that was part of the plot for sure. Not only was it buried on a weekend, but on a holiday. Ready for this, Robbie? Drunk weekend. Not only is it a holiday weekend, people are drunk. I bet a lot of reporters were drunk yesterday when this happened. Who knows?
That was strategic. I think the whole city was drunk, so no one knew to
just
check
another,
their phone.
Just another good move by Ryan Poles, man, to make sure that they just tuck this one away, so making life a little bit easier on Justin Fields. But I have a feeling that this will be a heavy-duty topic for about the next 5 days or so here on The Score. Actually, that's one of the good things, is that everybody can start to move on right now. The Bears can move on right now. Justin damn Fields can move on right now. We, Sports Radio, The Score, we can start to move on right now and figure out the particulars and the specifics and of Caleb Williams and find out if that is indeed a slam dunk. Because there's always a little bit. There's a tiny bit of gray area still with Caleb Williams, because we have not heard Ryan Poles come out and say, yep, that's our guy, or we just need to figure out a couple more things about him and we're good. You know, pro day, they'll be traveling to that on Wednesday, and that's where that begins. Actually began at the combine. We don't know what the conversation was like with Caleb Williams. We don't know if there was a deal breaker. We don't know how Ryan Poles feels about his father. We don't know how he feels about some of the social accusations that have been made. I'm sure that they've been discussed, and that I would guess he's happy with them, but there's that tiny bit of gray area that we don't know about right now. I'm going to take one more phone call before we go to a break. This is Henry on the South Side. South Side representing. What's up?
Good afternoon, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, Henry.
I'm sorry to see Justin go. I'm a Justin Fields fan, but I'm glad they got into Pittsburgh, because that's another team I can root for after the Bears.
Okay. So you're going to be rooting for Pittsburgh and Fields?
Yes. I think his time messed up here by the offensive coordinator. I don't think he really knew how to handle him.
You don't think Luke Getsy knew how to handle Fields?
Correct.
Okay.
He kept trying to make him a pure drop-back quarterback. As fans, we all saw the capabilities with him when he got a chance to roll out and find his receivers. True, he had to tear down the line. In 2022, he had a remarkable season considering he had no offensive line and mediocre receivers. That's why I was hoping they would trade down, pick up more draft picks, and stock the team. But it didn't happen that way. But I hope Caleb Williams turns out to be a good fit for the Bears.
It's good attitude, Henry. Thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, we got a lot of people to get to, Henry. I didn't want to cut you off there, but I do have to try to kind of keep it moving for the sake of everybody. I like to do things that are for the masses, Robbie. Take care of everybody. 312-644-6767. What I'll say, though, about that, and I heard somebody, maybe a caller, discussing that with Matt Spiegel this morning, the idea that they quote-unquote forced Justin Fields to become a drop back pocket quarterback. That's ridiculous, because that's what everybody wanted. That's what including Justin Fields. Remember at the end of the 2022 season, and Justin Fields was being handed softballs for the great things that he did with his legs, asked questions about that. And his general paraphrase response was, I don't care, because I would actually prefer to have those numbers as a passer. This is what Justin Fields wanted as well. Okay, so maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't pull the plug on it soon enough. But sure, if you'd like to make the argument that maybe Luke Getsy didn't coach him up well enough, okay, that's not out of the realm of possibility. But the idea that we all, including Justin Fields and the entire Bears organization, the idea that we didn't want him to be a pocket quarterback is ridiculous. So that's one thing I don't want to hear, is the idea that the Bears forced this on him. And what are they doing? This is what they want. This is what Justin Fields wanted. And it's a big reason why Justin Fields is not going to be the Bears quarterback going forward because he was not able to be the quarterback that they wanted him to be or that Justin Fields wanted to be. That's who he wanted to be. And he got better at it for sure. He was not just taking off and running this year. He did get better at that. There were times where it looked like he was going to run and then he would pass and he became more adept at it. But he even admitted at one point this year that he sometimes he would take off and run last year and he didn't even know why he was doing it. So, you know, to me that says that there is hope for Justin Fields still to continue to develop and maybe be a starter down the road. But that's a big reason why he's not here anymore, because the collective decision and process that they all wanted, Fields' camp was complicit in making this man a more complete passer and be the guy that he was at Ohio State. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And Caleb Williams is available. That part, that tiny little part, probably needs to be uttered just a little bit more. When we return, more of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. David Haw coming up at 1 o'clock. I'm Mark Grody with you talking Bears until 3 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
They did do that. Bears general manager Ryan Poles did do right by Justin Fields. Poles could have waited. He could have waited until the draft, prior to the draft, could have waited for, God forbid, injuries, which I guess probably wouldn't happen during the offseason, but he could have waited for during the draft. You never knew. You never know. But he decided to pull the trigger on a conditional sixth-round pick for 2025. So it had to be done. I will say that I was one of the people who thought for a while that Justin Fields and Caleb Williams could coexist in a locker room just because of the maturity of Justin Fields and, quite frankly, the maturity of a lot of NFL players who understand that it's a business, and if they want to play the pick the sides game, it's probably not going to be good for their career. So I thought that it was possible, plausible, but as time went on, and this thing kept burning and growing in front of the emotion, the anger from all the different sides, I realized that it's not a tenable situation. When you mix in the locker room, Fields, Caleb Williams, the media, the fans, all of that, I came to realize it probably would have been a bad concoction. So did Ryan Poles. And I think that that is a big part of why he pulled the trigger. Let me do this before we take a couple of calls. Let me read the Ryan Poles official statement and Justin Fields' thank you to Chicago. These are both very short, but let me do that for the benefit of the people that haven't heard it. This is Ryan Poles, Bears general manager, on the trade of Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. Quote, "We have engaged in multiple trade conversations in recent weeks and believe trading Justin at this time to Pittsburgh is what is best for both Justin and the Bears. We want to thank him for his tireless dedication, leadership, and all he poured into our franchise and community the last 3 years, and wish him the best towards a long and successful NFL career." Close quote, Ryan Poles. So if there was any doubt in your mind that they were trying to shop him, we had multiple trade conversations about Justin Fields should put that out. And then quickly from Justin Fields, he posted this, and I think Bears fans, I think that this is about as apropos as it gets. Justin Fields says, quote, "Can't say thank you enough to the city of Chicago for taking me in and embracing me. Thank you to the entire Bears organization and ownership for allowing me the opportunity to be part of such a historic franchise. But most of all, thank you to my all my brothers that I played with. You all were the reason I attacked each day the way I did. I can't thank you all enough for what y'all have meant to me over the last 3 years through the ups and downs. I wish each one of you nothing but success, ready for this next chapter." Close quote. That's Justin Fields. So it did not appear to leave Hallis Hall embittered. And look, Justin Fields always had a really good relationship with Bears fans for whatever reason. And that bond will not stop. I like to think about the fact that when Justin Fields does come back one day to Soldier Field, whether he's playing or not, he will be greeted warmly. And I think he will have good feelings. Not that he doesn't want to burn the Bears now and go become a Hall of Famer and stick it in the Bears' faces. There's no doubt about that. That's the way he should be feeling. That's the way I would be feeling. I do like the fact that there's not a lot of hurt that I'm feeling. Again, that goes back to some of the relief part of all of this. I was also thinking about, too, since he was traded to the Steelers, there was a Justin Fields game against the Steelers on November 9th, 2021, that I think is to some degree somewhat pivotal, because I thought that this could have been a game that you mark for Justin Fields, and I thought it could have, if it ended differently, could have sent him on a different path. November 9th, 2021, the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Chicago Bears 29-27. But here was the thing. Pittsburgh, which had a double-digit fourth-quarter lead, but let me take you to 2:52 left in the game. Pittsburgh led the Bears 26-20. And here we go. Justin Fields gets another opportunity to work some magic, to do what quarterbacks do that win for their teams. And Fields takes the Bears 75 yards in 66 seconds. What was it? Seven plays, capped off by that 16-yard touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney. The Bears take the lead with 1:46 to go in the game. But there was 1:46 left in the game. And that's when Ben Roethlisberger went to work, takes the Steelers 52 yards, sets up the game-winning field goal to make it 29-27, which is where our game ended on that night. And then Bears did have Cairo Santos missed like a crazy long field goal, right? Like 65 yards plus at the end. And the Bears didn't get there. And I just remember that because we were always looking for those opportunities throughout Justin Fields' career. Is this the time when he does the thing that elite and really good quarterbacks do? And unfortunately, there wasn't enough of that. And I thought that was a great moment for Justin Fields. Unfortunately, the symbolism is real. And Ben Roethlisberger takes the football ball, goes down. The Bears had one more shot, weren't able to get it. And then, you know, the struggles would continue for Justin Fields. There's a couple other games that I'll reference here as the day goes on. But, yeah, that popped in my mind with it. Because there's only, like, so many games, unfortunately, that you look at. And this is part of the problem. That you look at for Justin Fields and go, oh, yeah, that game. The Detroit game. That was awesome. The Washington game. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. The Pittsburgh game. That was great. You remember the good games for Justin Fields because there weren't enough of them. 312-644-6767. Back to the phone lines. We got to go to Paul from Valpo. What's up, Paulie? You're on the score. Paul. 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 No, Paul. Apparently it's a shame, but I believe we lost Paul. Let's go to Gary in Mississippi. What's up, Gare? Gare.
Hello, fellas.
What's up, Gare?
I was disappointed when I first heard about the news. My stomach dropped.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
I feel that. Honestly, you know what? I'm going to let you go on here, but my stomach dropped too. But go on, Charles.
Gary.
When you
think about it, I can probably see poses and the coach's decision on that. Justin, he appears to be a very great quarterback in the first couple of quarters. You know, he gets you a lead, but then he would not sustain that lead and add to it and pad it in the second and third quarter once everyone gets settled in and really start to frustrate them. So maybe he is a great quarterback for the first two quarters, but the last two quarters, especially with the Detroit games, he could not pad that lead at all. He was stalled, and that was frustrating me with Justin Fields. He was stalled.
That's a great word, stall. So good. Go on.
Right. And it wasn't just with the two Detroit games, Minnesota as well, too. So they see something that Justin Fields, and I love the guy, and I really wanted him to stick around, but they see something that we don't see.
Yep. Yep.
And so I respect Poles for making that decision right there to go ahead and put us out of our miseries.
Gary, that is a very sober take on Justin Fields. And honestly, that was my first feeling, too. The first feeling was, oh, my God, they traded Justin. They did it. Because it wasn't feeling like it was going to happen, and they did it when they did it. But my first emotion was, man, this is sad. This is sad. You know, there was nothing satisfying about it. And then there's a little bit of relief for all the reasons that I discussed for every party that is involved with the Bears and those who cover the Bears and those who are fans of the Bears. So it's the right move. I support it. But because of what Justin Fields represented, because he was a good guy, because I had a personal relationship with him. I shouldn't say personal. It was a close working relationship. Because for the first 2 years of his career, I had the opportunity when I was working for the Bears Radio Network to interview Justin Fields or whomever the starting quarterback was after every game. So I had a nice rapport with Justin Fields, you know, sometimes off the air, sometimes on the air. And one of the things about him that I can tell you is that even though the facial expressions and the demeanor, the way he carries himself, even on the sidelines, the way he's so stoic and calm, I mean, I know that he'd be pissed after games. I'll just give you one example. God, what was the game? It was a Thursday. Oh, it might have been a Thursday night game against Washington. Was it before the mini bye? I think it was before the mini bye last year. Was it Washington they played? And it was just a train wreck of a game. And I remember him saying, I might be conflating, but that doesn't matter for the story. It was after a bad loss. And Justin Fields was by his locker. I'm kind of just giving him his space as we all do as reporters, give these guys space to get dressed, to get ready. And when they're ready, then you go talk to them. And, you know, and finally Justin Fields kind of gave me the nod, come on over, talk to him. And before I turn on the mic, he kind of apologized to me up front. He said, just so you know, something to the effect of, I'm pretty pissed. My answers are probably not going to be great, so I apologize up front. And they were short answers, but it like made the difference from a reporter standpoint to know that the answer were going to be short and that he was going to kind of be pissed off, which I was like, I respected from the first level that it just showed, okay, this guy is like, he does take, like, it's not just disingenuous talk when he's like, I hate losing and winning is the most important thing to me. He warned me that his answers were not going to be satisfactory when I put a microphone in front of his face, you know, 40, or should say more like 20 minutes after what was a bad loss. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jimmy. Oh, no, wait. Charles. Charles, I'm sorry. I called the other guy Charles, but this is Charles.
You like my ex-girlfriend, you know, call me when the wrong time. That's okay. I ain't mad. But, hey, Mark, Mark, I've been a fan since Walter Payton.
Okay.
I've been a fan, by the way. I've been a fan at the score since Les. I used to listen to Les all night. But, I'm not mad about them getting rid of Fields, but what I'm mad at, y'all sweeping them under the bus, y'all not talking about these bad calls that Justin Fields was getting, bad coaching. The bad coaching that we still have that looms right now. We still got bad coaching. I don't care how you look at it. When this next season starts, I want to see if these coaches going to still be around when we can't win five games next year. Now, if we can't win five, who are we going to blame then? Who are we going to blame? We can't blame Justin Fields. We still got the people that's making these bad decisions on what's going on out here. Justin Fields got a bad hand dealt to him. That's true enough. He's still learning. But he's going to make the playoff in Pittsburgh, I guarantee you. Chicago is not going to make the playoff, I guarantee you, because we still got bad coaching. So, we can still say what we're going to say about Justin Fields. We still got a problem. We still got bad coaching.
All right, Charles, I appreciate it, man. Well, a significant portion of the coaching staff has changed. It is significant that there is a different offensive coordinator here. If that's the argument you're going to make, there is a Shane Waldron is here. I don't think that, like, I think of Shane Waldron and say, yep, that's the absolute answer. Hey, look, maybe it was bad. Maybe Justin Fields was coached poorly. I'm willing to concede that possibility that a, you know, essentially rookie offensive coordinator last year and what Luke Getsy was. Like, I don't think Luke Getsy was the problem, but I'll concede to people if maybe that was possible. Maybe he was not coached correctly and they did wrong by him. There was still enough that you would see from Justin Fields in games that you knew that even if this was bad coaching, there were instinctual quarterback things that Justin Fields didn't have. So it's possible that both of those things are true. If you really hate Luke Getsy, though, one thing you should keep in mind is that guy got another offensive coordinator job. He will be calling plays for the Raiders. It didn't take him long to get bites, to get a couple of interviews from a couple of different teams. So, if you hated the coaching staff, Justin Fields, factor that in. Factor in what the NFL, the National Football League, thinks of Luke Getsy and what they're showing you that they think of Justin Fields as well. I do have to take a break. When we come back, I will lay out for you another moment where I thought maybe Justin Fields was on his way, but he wasn't, and part of it was that he was hijacked. Plus, more of your calls, 312-644-6767. David Haw, Dan Weederer, Herb Howard, all coming up starting at 1 o'clock. Haw at 1 o'clock, Weederer at 1:40, Howard at 2 o'clock, all coming up here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
3rd and 14. Four-man rush again. Fields to the end zone. Moore! Touchdown! So Fields, who had the big first half last week, 20 yards here. Down the field they go. Moore catches two passes, six plays, 75 yards in a little less than 3 minutes. And Chicago draws first blood.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. We are talking Justin Fields and the trade to Pittsburgh for a conditional pick in 2026. David Haw will join the program 10 minutes from right now at 1 o'clock. You just heard the highlights right there of what was a phenomenal night for the Bears, a phenomenal night for Justin Fields, and a superior night for DJ Moore. It was a Bears 40-20 win over Washington. It was the DJ Moore game, 230 yards and three touchdowns. It's like, oh yeah, they found him. And Justin Fields, and by the way, that was the Bears' first win of the season. The Bears had been 0-4 up until that point. That was their first win of the year. Justin Fields had four touchdown passes in that game and zero turnovers. And I know this was DJ Moore, but I thought that game might end up being symbolic or maybe could have gotten the Bears on their way, or Justin Fields for that matter, to have that connection at that level with, you know, as we know, a pretty good defensive line for Washington. There was a lot of concern about Montez Sweat and Chase Daniel that day, for sure. But Like, Justin Fields overcame it, was flawless. So was DJ Moore, who made life easy for everybody. But that was one of those games, and I'll be talking about these games throughout the show, where you said, okay, let's see what they do next week. And then next week, guess what happened next week? Next week was the game where Justin Fields got hurt. Tyson Bagent comes in. I don't remember the time at which he came in, but it was early. And then Tyson Bagent quarterback, including that game, five games. So then we, you know, we get Justin Fields towards the end of the season, had some highs and lows there. But that little moment, potential moment for Justin Fields, I thought got derailed in that spot. Like, we didn't get to see it. What happened? We're not going to get to see it. 312-644-6767. Robbie, this is my fault, but sometimes I just take calls and I put them back on hold. So I don't know. Who am I going? Am I right at the top of the board here? Am I going David? Or, okay. All right. We go right to the top. It's David in Wisconsin. Hello, David. You're on the score.
Hi. Good morning. Hey, it's a great show. And that last guy, I go back to Jack Kincannon, Gary Huff, Kent Nix. You know, that Bears have a nice long history. But I think what you're talking about is a perfect segue to my point. And if Tyson Bagent started, he looked like he'd been in the league for 10 years. So hear me out. What if they go with Bagent and use that number one to trade to somebody or in the first round?
Hey, David.
I'd like to know your thoughts on Bagent as a starter.
David, I'd just like just serious question here, okay? And I will answer the question, and I thank you for the call. Are you being serious with your question?
Yeah, I don't know why the question.
You're asking me if.
Why is that ridiculous?
If Tyson Bagent, did you watch him quarterback last year?
Yeah, and he looked like a rookie at times, but fundamentally, I mean, he dropped back and that ball came out.
Yeah, you said he looked like a 10-year vet. So I just like your evaluation. Maybe you're just going hyperbole. We're prone to it around here, but you said he looked like a 10-year vet.
He looked like he'd been playing quarterback for 8 years.
No.
And he had been.
Well, he had been. Everybody looks like they've been playing quarterback for 8 years. Everybody that's in the NFL has been playing quarterback for 8 years.
Absolutely.
Come on, David.
When he had to read defenses, he was good at it.
David, we saw him get exploited. I was rooting for Tyson Bagent. Everybody wanted Tyson. It would have been awesome if Tyson Bagent was. Tyson Bagent showed that he's a backup quarterback in this league. I mean, you could like literally see, even if you're not a scout or somebody who zeroes in on film, the arm strength hurt him. Like, you saw it. Like, no zip on the passes. Like, every pass that he made, you're like, ooh, it's going to get there. And it got, you know what I'm saying, Dave? That's what I felt. I feel like I'm getting through to you, David. Yes?
Yeah. It was very Billy Kilmer-like. But,
yeah, now we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Not going to do it. That's going to do it. Robbie made a decision. Okay.
I made the executive decision there. Yeah.
I think he was serious. I will say that. I don't think that was necessarily a bit, but I thought that we were getting somewhere towards the end of that call. I'm like, Tyson Bagent's going to be around, and that's great. I've got no issue with Tyson Bagent being in that locker as a potential second or probably third pick or maybe even a practice squad quarterback, but come on. Come on.
He's a 10-year vet, then he's a rookie, then he's an 8-year vet because he lost 2 years. Like, what are we talking about?
People look like when he throw the ball down the middle in traffic, like everybody's like, is it going to get there? Oh, it got there. Or it wouldn't get there. We know that. Does this mean I have to take a break, Robbie? Was that your real point in doing away with that very important phone call? When we return, we will get our guests lined up. We are going to start with David Haugh, co-host of the Mully and Haugh Show on The Score. We will get his immediate reaction, what he was thinking when this trade went down, what he thinks of it now, and going forward. And you know what we'll try with all of our guests that are going to be on? Well, maybe they can help in answering the question of, although it's probably a little bit too early to ask the question, what is the legacy at this point of Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears? How do you put this man in perspective at this point? I do think we all need the benefit of time to truly answer that question, but maybe through 3 years of his Bears life, what is this man's legacy? And that is Justin Fields. I'm Mark Grody. We'll be back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and 14. Four-man rush again. Fields to the end zone. Moore! Touchdown! So Fields, who had the big first half last week, 20 yards here. Down the field they go. Moore catches two passes, six plays, 75 yards in a little less than 3 minutes. And Chicago draws first blood.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. We are talking Justin Fields and the trade to Pittsburgh for a conditional pick in 2026. David Hall will join the program 10 minutes from right now at 1 o'clock. You just heard the highlights right there of what was a phenomenal night for the Bears, a phenomenal night for Justin Fields, and a superior night for DJ Moore. It was a Bears 40-20 win over Washington. It was the DJ Moore game, 230 yards and three touchdowns. It's like, oh yeah, they found him. And Justin Fields, and by the way, that was the Bears' first win of the season. The Bears had been 0-4 up until that point. That was their first win of the year. Justin Fields had four touchdown passes in that game and zero turnovers. And I know this was DJ Moore, but I thought that that game might end up being symbolic or maybe could have gotten the Bears on their way, or Justin Fields for that matter, to have that connection at that level with, you know, as we know, a pretty good defensive line for Washington. There was a lot of concern about Montez Sweat and Chase Daniel that day, for sure. But like, Justin Fields overcame it, was flawless. So was DJ Moore, who made life easy for everybody. But that was one of those games, and I'll be talking about these games throughout the show, where you said, okay, let's see what they do next week. And then next week, guess what happened next week? Next week was the game where Justin Fields got hurt. Tyson Bagent comes in. I don't remember the time at which he came in, but it was early. And then Tyson Bagent quarterback, including that game, five games. So then we, you know, we get Justin Fields towards the end of the season, had some highs and lows there. But that little moment, potential moment for Justin Fields, I thought got derailed in that spot. Like, we didn't get to see it. What happened? We're not going to get to see it. 312-644-6767. Robbie, this is my fault, but sometimes I just take calls and I put them back on hold. So I don't know. Who am I going? Am I right at the top of the board here? Am I going David? Or, okay. All right. We go right to the top. It's David in Wisconsin. Hello, David. You're on the Score.
Hi. Good morning. Hey, it's a great show. And that last guy, I go back to Jack Kincannon, Gary Huff, Kent Nix. You know, that Bears have a nice long history. But I think what you're talking about is a perfect segue to my point. And if Tyson Bagent started, he looked like he'd been in the league for 10 years. So hear me out.
Oh,
what if they go with... What if they go with Bagent and use that number one to trade to somebody or in the first round?
Hey, David.
I'd like to know your thoughts on Bagent as a starter.
David, I just like just serious question here, okay? And I will answer the question, and I thank you for the call. Are you being serious with your question?
Yeah, I don't know why the question.
You're asking me if.
Why is that ridiculous?
If Tyson Bagent, did you watch him quarterback last year?
Yeah, and he looked like a rookie at times, but fundamentally, I mean, he dropped back and that ball came out.
Yeah, you said he looked like a 10-year vet. So I just like your evaluation. Maybe you're just going hyperbole. We're prone to it around here, but you said he looked like a 10-year vet.
He looked like he'd been playing quarterback for 8 years.
No.
And he had been.
Well, he had been. Everybody looks like they've been playing quarterback for 8 years. Everybody that's in the NFL has been playing quarterback for 8 years.
Absolutely.
Come
but
on,
when
David.
When he had to read defenses, he was good at it.
David, we saw him get exploited. I was rooting for Tyson Bagent. Everybody wanted Tyson. It would have been awesome if Tyson Bagent was. Tyson Bagent showed that he's a backup quarterback in this league. I mean, you could like literally see, even if you're not a scout or somebody who zeroes in on film, the arm strength hurt him. Like, you saw it. Like, no zip on the passes. Like, every pass that he made, you're like, ooh, it's going to get there. And it got, you know what I'm saying, Dave? That's what I felt. I feel like I'm getting through to you, David. Yes?
Yeah. It was very Billy Kilmer-like. But,
yeah, now we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to do it. That's going to do it. Robbie made a decision. Okay.
I made the executive decision there. Yeah.
I think he was serious. I will say that. I don't think that was necessarily a bit, but I thought that we were getting somewhere towards the end of that call. I'm like, Tyson Bagent's going to be around, and that's great. I've got no issue with Tyson Bagent being in that locker as a potential second or probably third pick or maybe even a practice squad quarterback, but come on. Come on.
He's a 10-year vet, then he's a rookie, then he's an 8-year vet because he lost 2 years. Like, what are we talking about?
People look like when he throw the ball down the middle in traffic, like everybody's like, is it going to get there? Oh, it got there. Or it wouldn't get there. We know that. Does this mean I have to take a break, Robbie? Was that your real point in doing away with that very important phone call? When we return, we will get our guests lined up. We are going to start with David Haugh, co-host of the Mully and Haugh Show on The Score. We will get his immediate reaction, what he was thinking when this trade went down, what he thinks of it now and going forward. And you know what we'll try with all of our guests that are going to be on? Well, maybe they can help in answering the question of, although it's probably a little bit too early to ask the question, what is the legacy at this point of Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears? How do you put this man in perspective at this point? I do think we all need the benefit of time to truly answer that question, but maybe through 3 years of his Bears life, what is this man's legacy? And that is Justin Fields. I'm Mark Grody. We'll be back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.